All right, welcome back to another episode of The Final Word. Thank you for continuing to listen and support the podcast. I, of course, am joined by my co-host Gary. We got to get Gary a pair of sunglasses.
I'm getting golden hour sun right now.
Yeah, isn't this like you're literally getting the lighting that I think every woman on the internet is like waiting for?
It is crushing me and it's making me so fucking hot. But I will.
I told you should just do the episode shirtless, but you just won't peel that other layer
I'll
off.
do it. I'll do it right now.
All right. Shirtless episode right here. There it is. Does that feel
Fucking
a
naked.
little better?
No, I hate
No.
this actually. Dude, look, I'm looking at myself right now. I have no neck. I'm shaped like a walrus. It's awful. I can't believe I took my shirt off for this. I look terrible.
You do realize that we don't do video, but I am recording video right now. I do have this now forever. There it
Yeah.
is. Little flex. Wow, you are white.
Dude, I got no armpit hair either.
You are very smooth. Wow.
Disgusting.
That's just the genes you were blessed with, huh?
Yeah, I think I'd take after
There's
my mother.
Well, anyway, sorry. I know this is an audio only platform. But yeah, Gary's getting wrecked pretty hard by some sunlight right now, and he was shirtless. Now it looks like the shirt's going back on, which
Gotta
is
put it back
very,
on.
very unfortunate.
Have to put it back on.
But while he does that, thank you again for continuing to listen to the show. Spread the word, tell your friends, all that stuff is great. All of the spreading of the podcast helps a ton. So whatever you could do to spread the word, please continue to do so. Feel like it's been a while since we've recorded one of these, even though we are on schedule. It's just it's been a while. Gary celebrated a birthday. I unfortunately was not able to wish him a happy birthday on the day of, so here it is. Happy birthday, pal.
Thank you, man. I mean, it's a little late, but it's a little late.
To be fair, and this was already discussed, but I did ask you when your birthday was, and your response was, "Who cares?" So.
Yeah, it's on me. But also, I mean, I feel like you could have figured it out, but that's okay. It doesn't matter to me at all.
I
It like
mean,
doesn't even bother me.
he can't even look at me when he says that, so I'm pretty sure it's upsetting. But we'll move on. It's okay. I hope you had a good birthday. I was gonna maybe, ask you what you did and how it went, but maybe we'll just skip right over that part.
Doesn't even matter, man. Fine birthday. Good birthday. I had a good birthday.
Good. You got some DVDs, huh? You're a big DVD guy now?
This is true. So I don't know what happened, but suddenly physical media became important to me. I bought a bunch of
Pretty
DVDs.
good.
I have like, dude, I have the whole Office set. I have
That's pretty good.
Sopranos.
Yeah.
I have Game of Thrones. I have Batman the Animated Series. I have all of Curb Your Enthusiasm, every one of them. And those
Solid.
are originals.
Yeah. Oh, the OG
Oh,
DVDs.
geez. Oh, Seinfeld,
What
Freaks and
was
Geeks.
ooh, classic. Freaks and Geeks is a
Yeah.
classic. I was actually digging through. I have this box. It's just like this one box where I just keep whatever reason, these are the things I'm keeping, and it all goes in one. It's got like my high school yearbook. I got
Oh,
like
wow.
a birth certificate, social security card.
You should have a file, dude. But
It's
yeah.
just all, well, no. So there's it's it, that those that stuff is in another in a fireproof box that goes inside the other box.
I have that too. Yeah, same
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah. And just whatever, all kinds of random stuff. But I was digging through it because you mentioned the DVDs earlier, and I knew I had a couple. So I actually do have like five DVDs that for whatever reason I held on to. And one is the first season of The Office that I think I
Nice.
bought 1,000 years ago and I just
Yeah.
couldn't get rid of it.
I'll take all your DVDs, dude.
Well, there's a couple that I think I want to keep. There's
You have a DVD player?
I no. I do not, but I think I just want to keep them because it's like, well, these are like a couple of movies that I clearly loved enough to keep for 20 years or whatever.
Just send them to me.
Yeah, shout out to, nothing wrong with a good DVD. I was about 6.5, maybe 7 years ago, I was so incredibly broke and poor and living in a studio apartment that
Same.
did not have internet because I'm pretty sure it used to be a giant storage closet that they turned into a studio apartment.
Jesus
There was
Christ.
no way to get internet. You just couldn't have it. There was no like outlet. They couldn't put one in. No, there was nothing.
Oh, my God.
So I literally had a giant old TV that, like, somebody gave me out of pity because I was so poor. And they gave me a DVD player. And I remember what I watched, like, those five DVDs for probably a year until I moved out of there.
Did you enjoy watching DVDs? Like, did you like the screens and the special features? And
the only thing, and I think everyone could sort of relate to this, is you waking up in the middle of the night and the menu screen is just on repeat.
Still playing. And I love that.
Like, and the TV I had didn't have a remote, of course.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I had to get up out of my bed to turn it off in the middle of the night. Otherwise, I had to just listen to the Office theme music play over and over.
Beepity.
until I fell back asleep again.
Best. That's what I love so much about, like, and I know we're, like, laboring this, but that's what I love so much about these DVDs is, like, as soon as the last episode plays, it just goes back to that title screen.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'll hear Curb Your Enthusiasm. And, like, just for hours. And I don't know why I like that. It's ridiculous, but I love it.
I have a fun, you may know this, I have a fun DVD menu screen fact for you. And then we'll get into all the death and everything else that I know you're all excited to hear about. But for Superbad, there is a menu screen where it's just Michael Cera's, like, shadow dancing. And they didn't want, like, just a 5-minute clip of him dancing on repeat. Yep. Mm-hmm. So they literally made him dance for an hour straight.
The entire menu screen is him dancing for 1 hour. And single thing he does is brand new.
It literally takes a full 60 minutes before it repeats again and it goes back to the beginning, which I thought was just, if you really want to get into it, everyone just stop listening to our podcast and go check out, I think I told you this, there's a podcast called, I think it's called The Original Podcast, and he just uploads DVD commentaries and then puts them on Apple and Spotify, and you just listen to the most recent one he put out. Looks like he stopped in 2023, but the most recent one he put out was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
There's a DVD commentary on that?
Yeah, dude.
Like the Johnny Depp version, or?
No, the 1971
version. Oh my fucking God.
It doesn't look like Gene Wilder was a part of it, though, so that's a bummer. The Rocky commentary, he does, like, random TV episodes, so, like, random episodes of The Simpsons, Hot Fuzz, The Thing.
That's
Scream
cool
Q.
As shit.
Like, there's a hundred.
Everyone should listen to that.
It's
fuck
so
this
good.
Podcast. Listen to that.
I subscribed the moment I saw it, and it's genius. I mean, it's obviously, I there's, like, no way to. It's clearly just a passion project. You can't make money off of uploading other people's content as a podcast, but.
Well, good for him.
Still a great podcast. Definitely worth checking out. There's a ton of really good.
What's it called?
On
one
there.
More time.
It's called The Original Podcast.
How did he even get that name?
Well, you could have 9 podcasts all named the same thing.
The Original Podcast, great name.
The first episode of Breaking Bad, Swingers.
Fucking hell, dude.
Taxi
That's
Driver,
awesome.
Men in Black.
Taxi Driver?
I mean, dude, there's so many good ones. The Empire Strikes Back, Funny People. Funny People, that's a good one.
That's got to be Sandler and
Seth
Rogen.
It's Apatow, Sandler, and Seth Rogen that do it.
That's
yeah.
so good.
I mean, I can go on forever. There's so many good. Goodfellas. Four-Year-Old Virgin, so many good ones. So anyway, if you don't want to listen to our podcast, that's the only
listen
other one
to
I
that.
Recommend.
Yep.
Otherwise,
listen to that instead.
Yeah. Otherwise, just buy some DVDs. But
I'm loving it. I really am loving it. I'm just like, and they're so cheap. They're like $6.
Look, like, when the power grid gets shut off by China, you're the only one that's going to be able to watch anything on
TV. You're
going
to have to come here, dude. You're going to have to fly out here, sleep in my bed, and you're going to have to watch DVDs with me.
All right, so let's get into it. O.J. Simpson is dead. If I had a soundboard right now, I'd be playing like that hallelujah music. Right? I don't know.
We know how you feel about it, yeah.
I mean, this is one of the questions that I had, and we could just get right into it. Was there anybody that saw that news and was like, no, not O.J.? Was anybody actually sad? on the entire, besides his children. And even then, I don't know how sad they were. He did kill their mother.
Okay. Great point. What I didn't realize was, because I was like way too young, I think not born when all this happened, but OJ.
It happened in 1994, so you were definitely alive. But
right, but his legacy went back further than that.
Oh,
so
yeah,
in
to
the,
like the 60s.
Yeah, 70s? Like 70s. He's a fantastic running back, breaking records, having like an entire amount of success. And then I think what kind of made this a racial issue was he broke into television and movies, and he started doing ads for Hertz Rent-A-Car, and then he was in the Airplane movies. He was like, he did a lot of shit. And I think that, I don't know if I can say this, and I've been thinking about it for like a week, but it's hard to say this, but like the black community felt that he was sort of accepted by the white community, taken in. And then when this shit happens, the chase and the murder and all of that, it's this weird flip where
it was the racial draft in Chappelle's Show where they're like,
yeah, I won't take
who wants
OJ.
Them?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a.
Well, it was the college that he went to was a predominantly white college.
USC,
and he was,
yeah.
And that was a big part of it. And there was a lot of protesting going on at the time, a lot of, especially in LA, a lot of backlash with the police at the time.
Right.
And he just sort of. I mean, he was famously quoted as saying, "I'm not black. I'm OJ."
I'm OJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a division, and it's always been a division. And I think that his death kind of also signed off on that division, where it's like, if you felt one way about him, then you felt one way about him, and if you felt the other way, you felt the other way. But I don't think that. I think that the reason his death was so prominent and newsworthy is because it is this strange divide about how you feel about his legacy.
I told you this. I was watching, there's this ESPN documentary that's on Netflix right now about OJ. And I didn't know a ton. Obviously, I knew he was this great football player and he had broken all these records and you know, his success in college. And then
first 2,000-yard rusher in the NFL.
Yeah.
Tons
and
of
then
shit.
With Buffalo. And something that I thought was really interesting is they in the documentary, they interview a lot of the old players, like a lot of the guys that were on the team with him when he broke that record. And it's all of these guys just praising him, like just talking about how, what an incredible guy he was. There's this footage from after the game where he breaks the record and he runs he hits the 2,000 yards. And they, of course, they want to interview him, and he refuses to be interviewed unless everyone on that offensive line is in the room with him.
It's the best. That's the best fucking thing you could do as an
NFL
player.
These guys were constantly praising him for that, which they should. And it kind of, it proves what a good guy he was, that it was, you know, it was a team effort. This wasn't just me. He could have sat there by himself and taken all the glory and said it was all me. But he was like, no, this is a team effort. I want all my guys in here. He's naming every single guy that's sitting next to him and behind him and giving everyone all this credit for a thing that he essentially did, you know, because of them and with them. And it really showed, I think, a big part of his personality is like this really genuinely good person. And it struck me, you know, while I was watching it, because I remember thinking, I can't believe anybody would, just because of sort of the situation, the evidence, just how everything sort of played out, it seemed like he was guilty, right? There were so many people that were like, there's just no way he could have done this, especially people that were close to him and that knew him back then, because they're like, no, this is like a genuinely good dude. And I didn't really know any of this stuff about him until I watched the documentary. And now I totally get it. I get why people were like, there's no way he could have done this. He's not, he's a genuinely good person based off of this and the other, that, you know, the way he sort of shown his personality through sports. Yeah, it definitely changed my perspective on him as a person. Just again, because I was just ignorant to what he was like years and years ago. Yeah,
yes.
I didn't really, I was young in 1994. you know, I was 7, I was 8 years old. I didn't really know. I just remember like my parents watching it on the news. Then you get a little bit older, you sort of realize it. And then, of course, all these documentaries and TV shows, you know, the FX series comes out. It's like, that's when I really learned about the OJ trial, and everything else was through the FX show.
And I think that's why people even are talking about his death so much. They called it the trial of the century. It was a racial division in our country where a black man accused of murdering a white woman was exonerated. He was considered not guilty. And then I think everybody had a feeling like they either wanted him to be guilty or they wanted him to be not guilty. And then when he was not guilty, it was just like, again, just the complete divide. It was like all of a sudden he wasn't the connector. He was the divider. And people just had a feeling.
Yeah, I mean, the entire trial was crazy. Obviously, all of the evidence, everything that sort of came out during that, obviously the very famous...
The glove.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I don't think that that's that crazy of a thing to take into consideration when you find a glove at the murder scene. Yeah, I don't know. You would assume the glove would fit OJ, right? I mean, now we're just sort of doing bits here, but
we're just
but
kind of are.
But in, you know, take it however you want. Why? So what did this is my thought, right? So is OJ such a genius, a murdering genius, that he goes, let me buy a size down, because if they find the gloves and they don't fit me, I'm going to look innocent? Or did he put on gloves that didn't fit because that's all he had?
No.
Or were they not his gloves? Was OJ innocent?
The guiding theory is that because the glove was soaked in blood and then put into like a Ziploc,
it shrunk.
That it shrunk.
Okay. Has anyone tested that theory?
I don't know.
Have we put another glove, soaked it in blood, Ziplocked it, and seen if the size changed?
Why didn't we do that before this fucking
Where
podcast?
Are we going to get blood, Gary?
I don't know, dude. I'll give it up. I would have done it.
I guess technically we could have maybe, you know, gone to a hospital, donated some blood, and be like, can I get a little extra of the Ziploc?
Can we get a blood? Yeah, I'm doing a podcast. Can I have some blood?
I would assume there's got to be something we can mix together that would create the same. I don't know. We're not doing science projects on the fucking podcast here. But I would be curious to know if that's true. That's an interesting. I didn't think about that. But sure, I guess, I don't know. Blood shrinks certain materials. I don't know. Is that a thing?
I have no idea. I fucking don't know. I just know that as soon as he like struggled to get that glove,
Google
on,
that. Ask ChatGPT.
They herald that moment as the defining moment in the trial, where they're like, he didn't do it. And a lot of people do think that maybe he hired somebody to do it.
There's a lot of theories. Some people think his son did it. That's a
really
big one. Oh yeah, you've never heard that? That's a big one. There's a guy who wrote a book, spent millions on the theory that OJ's son actually killed the mother and the boyfriend. And I don't know, did they make him wear the glove? Did it fit him?
Put it on him.
But then there's also a theory that they planted the glove and that's why it didn't fit. I mean,
Mark Furman, all that
crazy
shit.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. They do have him. They do have him on, like, so after OJ retired from football, he did commentary on NBC, I think. They show him in Isotoners. Like, he's outside like a Chicago Bears game and he's wearing the exact same glove that they found.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of videos of him wearing Isotoners. It was a very popular leather glove. And so they say, like, you know, here he is. He's wearing Isotoners here.
Maybe he just happened to see them during the trial and he's like, oh, I like, these are nice gloves. Maybe I'll buy a pair after
I'll get a pair of these after. Proven.
Yeah, dude, the whole thing's crazy. You know, obviously he wrote that book called, I didn't do it, but if I did, this is how I would do it, which is just crazy. And it's like, he didn't make any money off of that book. He was he made zero off of that. So like, why even write it?
I don't know.
Unless you got to get it off your chest somehow.
So this is like what you sent me pre-show. It was could this be the best deathbed confession of all time?
All time. Is there a better deathbed? Unless I'm saying it's this or JFK. Which one is it? it's either OJ admitting to killing his wife, or somebody going, I was the shooter. I took out.
I JFK. Got him right in the left eye. Took his head off.
Is there a bet? And did he tell his children anything? Did somebody pull out the old voice memo app and go, all right, Dad, last chance, man.
But let me ask you this, and this is like kind of a fucked up question, but do you think that like if he had it in him, if like he was like riddled with that guilt, do you think that it would make, do you think it would change his afterlife, or do you think that would like make him change how he felt in those last moments? Because he's dying of prostate cancer. He knows he's going, and I don't know how prostate cancer kills you. I guess like shit probably just shuts down. But like, wouldn't you want to fucking say that at the end?
I mean, it's hard for me to put myself in those shoes, but there is a reason that deathbed confessions exist, and it's because this is really where I think people feel comfortable finally admitting stuff. I mean, going back to the book, man, when you write that kind of book, I'm like, I don't think he really cared. I mean, there's something in your weird when you do something like that. I think your brain chemistry just changes forever. I don't think that there's guilt. I think you're just a different person afterwards. Obviously, there's people in prison. There's people that find God and stuff. And there are like serial killers and murderers that do sort of change their life and who they are. And it's usually through religion. But I never saw that with OJ. All he did once he pretty much found freedom again was
play golf,
go on Twitter and give his commentary on social, on pop culture and hey, Twitter world. And did you ever watch any of those?
It's cringy. I saw it.
Yeah, it's tough, man. So like, he really continued to live his life as if he was innocent. And I don't know. It's very interesting. There's a reason why we're talking about it now. It's literally 30 years ago. And the fact that he lived till 76 is pretty wild. And it's I don't know. The whole thing is just obviously very interesting. And I don't know. Did you ever watch the FX series that they did?
I don't think so, no.
With Cuba Gooding Jr. and David Schwimmer and John Travolta.
Oh yeah, I did watch that.
I mean, they did an incredible job. I mean, it was nominated for all kinds of things. I don't know if it won anything, but it's incredibly well done and really gives you another, you know, insight into the whole thing. And of course, like, it's crazy to not even bring up the whole Bronco chase. I don't know who said it. Somebody had a joke where they're like, they literally stopped making Broncos after that.
That's hilarious. That's very funny.
Like, yeah, I think we're done now with the Ford Bronco.
Do you know, this is the thing to me that always cemented his guilt in my mind is that the 911 call came in from the driver, and the driver is a friend of his who he played. I think he played football at USC with this guy.
Yeah,
and the driver is saying OJ has a gun to his head.
Yeah. The guilt.
You're on a chase. Yeah. I mean, how the fuck is that not an
the only argument I would give to that is the stress of just the entire situation, not wanting to deal with any of this anymore. Because in the eyes of millions of people, he's guilty, right? So it's like, what does it matter anyway? You're innocent or not, his life is ruined.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting take, but I just I believe
there's so many things that he did that are admissions of guilt. So many things. And you know, we unfortunately live in a country where you are innocent until proven guilty. Some would argue you're guilty until proven innocent, but
I would agree with that.
I think nowadays more so, but even in the 90s, man, I mean, just a very sort of kind of basic ending to the whole thing, right? Like, you would assume he was in prison for a while, obviously, for what? Stealing, like, memorabilia. He went for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he got out, yeah, it was basically making Twitter videos and playing golf, and then cancer hits. And
seems like a shit way to die.
It doesn't seem great. And I guess, yeah, you could say, all right, well, that, but he didn't really suffer. It seemed like it happened really quick.
That'd be nice.
If karma's a real thing, you'd assume he would have suffered a little bit, but
something in his lungs or throat or something.
Yeah. But either way, OJ is gone, 76 years old. You know, in the report, it obviously says that he was surrounded by, you know, his children and grandchildren when it happened. And I would love to know what those final OJ words were.
Me too.
But I don't know. Do we ever find out? Maybe one of his kids writes a tell-all?
Yeah, somebody does a podcast, hopefully.
Could you imagine his kids start a podcast and they go, we've got audio of his final, of OJ's final words. And they tease it for 9 seasons.
It's 5 million fucking views day one.
No, you got to milk that, brother. No pun intended to the prostate. You got to milk that until, you know, you hit, you know, a million subscribers.
Just build.
It's sponsored by the 2024 Ford Bronco.
Ford is the sponsor of that podcast.
Oh boy.
It's so funny. I can't even think of anything. It's hilarious. This is the Ford Bronco.
Oh my gosh.
2024. Yeah,
are you also driving down the 405 right now? Shout out OJ one time.
Shout out OJ. Slow chase. Shout out OJ.
So the next story that I kind of wanted to just talk quickly about, because I don't know a ton about it, but it was in the news yesterday. The armor, I guess, is the term.
Mm-hmm.
She was basically in charge of all of the guns for that Alec Baldwin movie. She was sentenced to 18 months for involuntary manslaughter yesterday because Alec Baldwin accidentally shot and killed a person. He killed the cinematographer of the film and injured the director. 18 months. Is that doesn't seem like a lot, especially when you look into, like, good behavior probably gets 6 months cut off of that anyway. So maybe you do a year.
Yeah.
Overcrowding, maybe you do 9 months. it doesn't seem like a lot of time for such a crazy, crazy thing to happen. I would assume when you go into filming a movie that involves guns, I don't know. I just would assume that there would never be a real gun. It's crazy that there's a real gun.
They have to.
Why? It's all make-believe. They're all fucking pretending. Why does the gun have to be real?
I bet that's a way that they have always cut costs, by just using real guns, because they don't want to create
the CGI, like, 3D, of the gun?
Or CG or 3D models of guns. And so there's
a million fake guns. You can go to the toy store and buy a fake gun.
I know, but it wouldn't look good.
Okay. These movies have budgets of millions and millions of dollars.
You can't
put $100,000 into making some fake guns look real.
Why would you do that if it's just like free old fake guns that you just use blanks on?
Because people might accidentally die.
Well, that happened.
That's why. Obviously, Alec Baldwin is next now. He's going to court for involuntary manslaughter too, which is crazy. I mean, could you imagine just being hired to be in a movie and now you're going to court to possibly be sentenced to involuntary manslaughter?
Well, I heard that the reason that they're prosecuting him is because he went off script. He was not supposed to point the gun at the camera. So he improvised.
No. I think for what it says in the story here is that they weren't even filming. He just had the gun and was like holding it while they were like prepping to film, and it was pointed at the cinematographer and the director, and it just accidentally went off and he shot them. In the story here, it says Baldwin, the lead actor and co-producer, was pointing a gun when the revolver went off, wounding the director and killing the cinematographer. Why were there live rounds in the gun? Even if it is real, why aren't they putting blanks in it? Why were there live rounds in it? That's really what it comes down to.
I agree with you. And I think that it comes down to the fact that this woman who is in charge of making sure these guns are safe didn't make sure the guns are safe. I think 18 months is, I think that's appropriate, dude.
Really?
Yes.
She put live rounds in a gun on a make-believe.
I don't think she put live rounds in the gun. I think that she chose a gun that had live rounds in it. She's
I'm sorry, you're the supervisor of the guns, and you don't maybe check to see what's in the gun before you hand it to Alec Baldwin?
You what should this woman get? Fucking 25 years?
Her whole job is to make sure nobody gets shot in the face and somebody got killed, and all she had to do was check to make sure there weren't any real bullets in the make-believe movie with the toy with the guns.
This is no different than like hitting somebody in a crosswalk, dude.
What?
It's the same thing. She made a mistake. She has a big job, tons of guns. We haven't even seen this movie. I bet there's a billion guns in the movie.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just tons of guns. And then one of them, like,
There was a box that said real bullets and a box that said fake bullets.
Fake bullets.
And she went, oopsie. I put the wrong ones in.
I doubt that's how it happened.
I would love, dude. I mean, maybe that's something we could do. I could get somebody on the podcast who like works in like, you know, I don't know. Like maybe we could find somebody who's an armor for movies and have them
Shouldn't
come
be
on
hard.
Because I mean, it's just so crazy to me again, because I understand wanting to be realistic in your movie.
Yeah, you have to.
First of all, how many people are going to watch this fucking stupid Alec
That's
Baldwin movie?
No one's watching it. But I mean, they tried to be like, you know,
period piece. We want this terrible B Alec Baldwin movie. Alec Baldwin should have just done. He should have just did a 30 Rock movie instead of this stupid Western, and he wouldn't be on trial right now. This honestly is sort of a 30 Rock like episode
where Liz Lemon has to come in and be like, "Hold on. Are we sure?"
No, Tracy Morgan accidentally shoots fucking, you know, one of the cameramen. And
she's 27 years old, dude. She's 27.
What does that means? Nothing to me. That's
to
an
me,
adult.
It means a lot. I know
27 is an adult. If you said she was 19, maybe 27.
I don't know. I mean, don't you think that people that work on, like, don't you think that somebody that's in her position should be 40, fucking have 20 years of experience in this?
I'm sure they, yeah, the budget cuts. They're like, let's get the new girl. She's about $30,000 cheaper.
Yeah, I think that's all this is. And like you're saying, it's a movie that nobody's going to watch. So they know they have a budget. They're going to use an armorer because I bet that's cheaper.
You don't have to make fake guns. They exist. You could get guns that for a Western that look real, that don't fire real bullets.
Are you an armorer?
I am not, but it has to exist.
I don't know that it does. I bet it's cheaper to
I'm pretty sure the fucking laser guns from Star Wars weren't real. Those looked pretty good.
Those weren't real?
They were not.
I think that they went on budget and they hired an armorer, and they probably got a cheap one, cheap armor. And I got two things to say. First of all, 18 months, I'm happy with that. This bitch's life is fucking ruined. And if she has any sort of like feeling of guilt, that's really sad. That's really fucked up.
That's a tough blank space on the old resume, huh? I see here there's about 18 months where you weren't working.
Well, I was in jail. Why? I just took a leave of absence.
Don't Google Alec Baldwin.
She's never going to get a job again. Actually, there is footage
of
her.
Good.
There is footage of her like in the back of a cop car saying that. Where she's like, well, I guess I'm not.
Of course not. She should be in charge. If she ever works on a movie set again, it should be getting coffee and that's it. And she'll probably screw that up.
I think 18 months is a fine definition.
Well, again,
for what
it's not
did.
18 months. It's 12 months, maybe 9 with good behavior.
Listen, have you ever watched any of these prison documentaries where like people are terrible to each other in prison?
I'm not here to argue about the prison reform and how bad her life is about to be.
It's going
to
be bad.
It's going to be terrible. She's about to learn a lesson the hard way.
The real hard way, man.
Yeah. The only way she's making money is she writes a book. She probably gets a book deal.
Or she has Cheetos.
She learns how to make prison wine. That probably maybe helps a little bit.
Yes. I feel bad for her.
Dude, I mean, look, if I had any sort of conscience whatsoever, I would feel bad for her. I don't feel bad at all because there shouldn't have been live rounds in a gun on a make-believe.
These
are all pretend people making a pretend movie. They're making a fake Western.
Yes.
Okay? A fake Western.
Yes.
And a cinematographer gets killed?
Yes.
All she's trying to do is make sure that the lighting's correct. She would have killed for that lighting you had earlier.
I know.
All she's trying to do is make sure Alec Baldwin looks age appropriate in this Western. That's hard enough. That's a job in itself. Now she's gonna worry about getting shot by fucking a Baldwin brother.
That's my whole point. She's
if
got
this
a
was
lot
Billy
of fucking
Baldwin,
stress.
I'd get it. This is Alec.
You can make Alec look all right and still make sure there's no live rounds in the gun, bitch.
I'm just saying. I have a level of respect for the Baldwins. I can list them if you'd like.
Well, listen, I think it's fucking criminal that they're charging him with anything.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's insane. And also,
we can agree on that. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, look, just to really just break it down as simple as possible for me, I think it's crazy that there's real guns on movie sets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's doing real cocaine. No one's smoking weed, unless maybe it's a Seth Rogen movie. No one's, even in Seth Rogen movies, it's fake weed. No one's, no one's doing coke, real coke. No one's smoking real weed. No, it's when you have a beer, it's fucking ginger ale or whatever the fuck.
That's true.
So why are there real guns? That's
a good
crazy.
Point. I think it's like,
I think if we're going to allow real guns, people should be allowed to do coke in movies.
Have
you should
beer.
Be allowed to you should be able to shoot heroin. You should be allowed to have a whiskey. I don't care if you got to do 45 takes. You should be allowed to just, I guess that's it. You're shooting that one scene today because you're sipping whiskey the whole time. That's it. Okay.
In the Departed, it should have been real cranberry juice.
Matt Damon should have been shot right in between the eyes for real.
I believe that 18 months is an appropriate sentence.
I think it's such a crazy thing. I mean, the last time this happened was what? Fucking Bruce Lee or who was
Yeah,
it?
Yeah, in The Crow. Yeah.
So it doesn't happen often, which again is to my point, I believe, because I would love to know how often real guns are being used in movies. If I was an actor and they put me in one scene, and I'm like the guy buying Cheetos at the gas station that's being robbed, I'm going up to everybody and I'm saying, let me hold that gun. Is that, how heavy is this thing? Is this real?
This feels like,
I'm doing a gun safety course.
You doing gun check?
Before my scene. So I know how to, you know, pop the extra one out of the chamber before we film.
I don't think you're wrong. I just believe that 18 months
and
is
an
appropriate
sense.
Yes,
I was going to say, it is hard to put a number on a mistake. It blows my mind that there are real guns on movie sets. Nothing else is real. Everything's CGI. I know it was a Western, probably low budget, and Alec Baldwin's just trying to pay child support to, you know, the whatever daughter he screamed at.
He screamed at her.
Was that him? He had a bad voicemail, right? Or was that Hasselhoff? That was Hasselhoff.
No, he
Baldwin
Alec
had
Baldwin
one too,
called,
right?
Baldwin called his daughter a fat pig.
I thought that was Hasselhoff.
I think that no, Hasselhoff laid on the ground and ate cheeseburgers and his daughter filmed it.
Okay. So it blows my mind that that's even a thing. I feel like with the amount of money that goes into making these movies, they could afford to create weapons that look real. and they don't have to ever be in a situation where somebody who went to 9 years of acting classes and was not accepted to Juilliard 3 times to also have to be in charge of a live gun, a loaded gun with live rounds in it. That's just crazy to me. And sure, I think it's hard to put a number on it. 18 months, what I guess is appropriate. I don't know how you punish somebody for that. Like you said, her life is definitely ruined. So that's that's part of the punishment anyway. But Alec Baldwin is going to court for involuntary manslaughter. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I bet he gets community service. You know, I would assume they're probably going to take it easy on him. And she'll do her 18 months. And unless she somehow figures out a way to accidentally kill somebody else while she's in prison, she'll probably do half of that. And, you know, just fade into the sunset like his character probably would have at the end of the movie.
He might get a Marvel movie out of it. Be a villain. Marvel villain.
That's okay. See, no, those are the movies that she'll only be able to work on movies where the guns are laser guns.
And laser guns. You got to get her on laser guns.
She's in charge. She'll only be in charge of guns that go pew, pew.
Yeah.
Pew, pew.
She needs pew pews. She doesn't need pop, pop, pop.
That's it. That's it. Her guns need to have, you know, CGI. Bright lights coming out of them. And yes. That's it. It's a bad situation to be in. You know, it's unfortunate, but she had a job to do and she did the exact opposite of what she was supposed to. So, I mean, there needs to be some sort of punishment. And
you
I mean, I just,
up.
Dude, honestly, the only thing we haven't really discussed is how awful it must feel to be put in a situation where you accidentally kill someone. Alec Baldwin fucking murdered a mother and a daughter and a wife completely on accident.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how you ever recover from that.
Mm-hmm. You think it really bothered you?
Of course.
Really?
He shot 2 people and one of them died. And there's video footage of him finding out she died.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
I saw that. Yeah. I don't know. I've never done it. I think I would feel bad, but I honestly don't think I'd feel responsible.
Well, no, you can't be responsible. I mean, I don't know the protocol. It's weird that I do know that when you're pointing a gun, it should always be pointing down or away from humans, no matter what. So it's crazy that he was pointing it at people, but it's probably because he didn't think that the gun was capable of killing someone.
Obviously.
So gun, you know, basic gun protocol would be to not be pointing it at another human, no matter what. So that is, I guess, on him, but of course not. No, this is I give 0.1%. It's Alec Baldwin's fault,
and
it had to have traumatized him to the point that it'll affect him the rest of his life.
I don't know. It wouldn't affect me for the rest of my life. It wouldn't. I would not feel guilty.
You're saying that based off of zero experience in that situation.
I know, but if I'm putting myself in that space, I'm like, I think I would feel like, first of all, you're getting prosecuted.
If you crashed your car and killed somebody, you'd be okay with that?
Yeah, I'm driving. That's all on me. If somebody fucking gives me like, if they put me
my
in
my point
car, like,
is, if, is that you didn't mean to kill that person. It was an accident. I think you killed an innocent person. On accident or not, it's going to have an effect on you.
I'd be all right with it.
I don't think it's a free kill, man. It's a free kill.
It's a free kill, dude. He might even like.
I think we're really getting some insight into Gary right now.
I don't think that I would like. I would not arrest myself with guilt. I wouldn't.
I think that's fair. And I think a therapist would probably say the same thing. It's not your fault. It would be, you'd be Robin Williams and Matt Damon, that you'd be standing eye to eye and it's not your fault.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And I just cry.
And then you'd cry and then you'd be done.
Yeah.
But I think, I think a therapist would say the same thing. Yes, it's not your fault. You know, this is unfortunately something that can happen on a movie set, no matter how insane it is. But I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like I said, I bet you he gets community service. They got to do something, but it'll be so minimal. And really, I think the lawyer's defense is going to be Alec Baldwin has suffered enough. And that's sort of where I think it ends.
All right. Well, I've missed you, bud.
All right.
I have missed you.
I miss you too, buddy. Let's chat for a little bit after we end this episode.
All right.
Thanks for continuing to listen and support the podcast, everybody.